welcome in to this Saturday night on KABC in Los Angeles. I am Bill Jenkins. We call this next 3 hours Open Mind, a journey into a new reality. A reality that is so viewed by the most, but certainly you and I, these Saturday nights, that you going on out there. What's going on out there is around us. We'll talk about tonight, going out of body.
And to go out of body, why, everybody does that, it seems like. Everybody but Bill. Haven't yet achieved that. So we have brought together some old friends of ours here tonight from Minneapolis, St. Paul, from a group known as Search and Group, Search and Prove. These gentlemen, and, well, the group there, do go out of body rather easily. In fact, they do a number of things which most of us may think are impossible, or perhaps you have never heard of it. Allowing the consciousness to actually leave the physical body and travel in a realm that is certainly totally unfamiliar to our physical self. And for those who have never been there, one that is very difficult to even imagine. Although it is a very natural realm for us all. Let's welcome back to Open Mind, Jerry Gross. Hello, Jerry. Welcome aboard.
How are you?
I'm just fine. And on the other side of town from you is your compadre and buddy, Jim Boyd. Jim,
welcome aboard. How are you?
All right. People are going out of body in Southern California, I know. You people are going out of body up there, I know. Why don't you tell me, what is... We call it the out-of-body experience or going out-of-body. Let's assume for the moment, if we may, gentlemen, that nobody knows what we're talking about. Explain the phenomenon, would you please? Jerry, you go ahead.
Okay, I'll rotate it. Out-of-body is nothing more than you leave the body.
What do you say, you leave the body? Who leaves the body? Whenever you say you, I think of my body as me.
That's where you gotta separate it.
All
your body is nothing but a vehicle, put it, that carries your astral body or your soul, whatever you want to carry it around on this earth plane.
Our spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you learn or if you wanna, and you do every night, you get out of this body. And you go traveling around. And there is quite a few people, like Jim, myself, and I know a lot of them that can do this at will when they want to.
Do you go out of body?
They have to go into the sleep state in order to leave. They can do it in the while they're awake.
Do you go out of body at will, Jerry?
Yes. Yes, I do, Bill. What I can do, I can sit down in a chair and just get myself more in a relaxing state and just pull myself right out.
What about you, Jim? Can you do that?
Not all the time. I find that I can get out of the body the easiest early in the morning, generally between 5 and 8 o'clock in the morning. In fact, this is where I practice the most. What I do is I get up out of bed about that time, and I go sit in a chair. And I'm still relaxed from the night's sleep, and I find it easiest to get out that way.
Well, you know, the last time you were on, and I failed to mention this to you in our pre-talks before tonight's show, but I thought it would be a grand experiment. And I put it to you now, and you can say no, it's perfectly all right, because there was absolutely no preparation. This whole thing came to my mind. If one of you, is it capable for you to, you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, for you to come out about it, come here to the studio, describe it, and jump back, and then get back on the phone and tell us about it. Is that asking too much?
Well, for me, it's asking too much.
I know it's not early in the morning. What about you, Jerry?
Let's talk for a while and let me get relaxed a little bit, huh?
You want to give it a try?
I'll give it a try later on.
You've never been to Los Angeles?
No.
You've certainly never been to the studios of KABC?
No.
We personally have never met?
No.
You don't know what I look like?
No, I don't.
And you certainly don't know what I'm wearing. And So if you could give us some kind of a description of what you find when you get to this complex known as KABC Radio and the Talk Radio Network, I think that would be just fascinating. Now, you're not really required to do that because I, honestly, folks, and I think both of you guys, I just sprung that on you, right?
Hey, that's correct. The difficulty with projecting out of the body, at least when you start practicing this, is you have to learn to be able to control your sleep state.
Yeah.
Most people who start practicing will automatically fall asleep before they leave the body. And the difficulty in coming out there tonight, it would be equivalent to, at least for myself, would be like having a room full of people all being quiet as they're sitting around your bed watching you try to go to sleep. Of course, you'd never get to sleep.
Depends on who the people are.
Unless you're really tired.
Yeah. You came to see me at my house one time, didn't you, Jim, in the out-of-body state?
Yeah, that goes back a year or maybe a year and a half ago. And I had it in my mind over a period of months that I wanted to get out there. And I found myself out there before I even knew it. What happened to me is I was out of the body, and all of a sudden, I was lifted into the air so that I could see the curvature of the earth. And this has happened before, where all of a sudden you have kind of a force on you.
Mm-hmm.
And this force is your spirit guide who's taking you places. And the next thing I knew, I was dropping down, and I found myself in a house. And it startled me a little bit because I didn't know just whose house I was in. So I walked around a little bit, and lo and behold, there's a fellow. And the thought immediately came to me that this is Bill Jenkins. And so I said, "You're Bill, aren't you?" And you said, "Yeah." And we were in a room, and there was a woman in the room also. And I didn't know who she was, but from talking to you later on sometime, you thought it was probably your wife. And what I did is...
I hope it was. No, actually, it was a friend of ours, because as you related the conversation that we had and the description of the woman,
okay,
it was a woman who was a very good friend of my wife, and I remember the occasion, in fact.
And what I did to try to get you to remember is I pinched your left arm, and I said, "Now remember this."
I jumped out of body and communed with you, is that right?
Well, remember, you're out of the body every night, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, my out-of-body being was talking to you while my physical being was going on talking to the lady was Marie.
Either that or you were sleeping. I didn't see your physical body.
Oh, okay. Now you got me confused. But that's all right. I do remember the description you gave. I remember the occasion. So you can do that, but maybe necessarily all at your control.
That's the biggest part, is once the first difficulty is learning to get out of the body, and after that, you're learning to control yourself,
mm-hmm,
to go different places that you want to go. And part of that control problem is linked with any fear, because let's say if you go someplace at a high rate of speed, that in itself might cause a new person to get a little bit nervous.
You do move at high rates of speed.
Sometimes you can go at a very high rate of speed, yes.
We're not talking 100 miles an hour. We're talking a high rate of speed.
We're talking a high rate of speed.
Why would anyone want to separate their physical and spiritual being and leave their physical being in a chair or on the bed or wherever and allow their consciousness or their soul or their spiritual being, whatever you may want to call it, their life force, to explore the cosmos?
Jim, you want to take that?
Either one of you.
I would say that the reason you want to do this is because you find out how the universe is created. We wake up in the morning and we do our daily duties, and we think, in a sense, that the whole universe is physical. But when you get out of the body, you find out that there's another part of the universe that is not physical. And so, in a sense, when you live your life without knowing how to project out of the body, you only see half of what's really going on.
There is a teeming life of non-physical life, then.
Exactly.
Or a teeming society, let's put it that way.
Right, right.
Do you get a chance to go to what the religionists would refer to as heaven and hell?
I would say that what the religions are referring to is just the next dimension.
Where the spirit lives whenever it's not in physical life.
Exactly, yeah.
Then there is, as far as you gentlemen are concerned, such a thing as reincarnation?
Well, I remember about a year ago, I finally found out the name of who I was in my last life. It took several years to find it. And I think from what Jerry and I discussed one time, he knows where he was buried in his last life. So far, we haven't gone down to visit his grave yet, but we'll probably make it one of these years.
Why would you want to do that? Is it important to know that? Or is it just a matter of curiosity?
I think it's a matter of curiosity for most people to see if something like that actually happens. And, a lot of people can't go along with reincarnation, but I always look at it this way. It happened once, didn't it?
Yeah, why couldn't it happen again?
Why couldn't it happen again?
In the studies that you have done, the research that you have done by actually being there, is there a great effect upon the way we are now, granting for the moment that there is such a thing as reincarnation, for purposes of this conversation, is there an effect on the life that I am living now, the personality I have, the thinking that I am, thinking processes that I employ, that has a relationship to what I was before?
Well, I know I carried some things along with me in this life that I can do that I also did in my last life. Maybe Jerry could expound on that one.
You always carry your personality. You bring that along with you into this life that you left before. But the thing is, you're smarter. Know what I mean, Bill?
Yeah, you've gone from grade one to grade two.
Right.
Okay.
And a lot of times, you probably got a bad accident in the life before or smashed a leg. And you go through the next life on Earth here, and it will always seem like you always got a little pain in that leg that you hurt in the life before.
Even though physically there's nothing the matter
nothing
with you.
Nothing the matter with you.
It's a part of your spiritual intelligence memory.
Right. It's like you have a lot of people, they go to the doctors with pain and they cannot figure out. The doctor can never find nothing wrong with them. A lot of times it is a pain that they carried over with it in an accident or...
Something like that?
In the life before.
Is there a way to get rid of that pain once you realize that that's simply a memory from a previous time?
Once you realize that, the pain will go away. Because you know what's causing it then.
Nullifying a bad memory.
Right.
Or at least dealing with it and coping with it. Nullifying it, yeah.
Is like on astral projection, you know, like I'm doing, I got a spiritual teacher I'm working with me, his name is Karama. And,
explain to me, Jerry, a spiritual teacher, if you may.
A spiritual teacher is like, somebody that comes with you through this life. They're all the body, you're in the body, and this certain soul will stay with you through your whole life.
On the spirit side, they follow you around, or at least keep tabs on you?
Keep tabs on you.
Yeah?
And
so you're never alone.
Right. And the church calls them their guardians. Churches call them the guardian angels.
I see.
Anyway, I'm doing a series of tapes on lectures from this Karama, and he dictates, dictates to me of what to write.
Is that a channeling process that you're going through then?
No. Mine's different compared to other people.
Okay.
In order for me, mine comes to me like a whisper in the ear, you know?
You hear the words.
Right. In order for me to get that, to hear the words, I got to sit in the chair in my office here.
Mm-hmm.
and project out, and then move in the body real slow, so I'm half in and half out. And then I can hear what this teacher's saying to me.
So you write it down?
Right. I type it down then.
And what's the name of that teacher?
Karama.
Karama. Give our best to Karama.
But it's really amazing. I mean, I had this, you know, Bill, all my life, and it just amazes me that through our world here, or of the people I know, that they go through life kind of blind. Without doing this, they're going through their whole life blind, and they're relying on other people to do their thinking for them. When it comes to this, to the spiritual part, that
why is it, said Jerry, that so many of us don't have a conscious memory of this other existence that, according to the two of you, and certainly to many millions of others.
You got it. The only thing you got to do is bring it back. See, when we were brought into this, when we come into the physical world, this life here, we'll see, that when we were 1 year old, we were in and out of the body all the time when the body was an infant.
Babies pop in and out all the time.
All the time. They're mostly out. Only come back in was when the body got to be nourished and waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year later, begin to sense stuff around you. The mother's love starts taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And you become more in the material. And what happens is that the physical mind starts going with developing it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that is there is in the subconscious. And as you grow older, you keep shoving it back farther and farther.
In other words, the weight of living in this world that we're in takes precedence in our processes, and we forget this other world that we were living in.
Where we came from.
We don't have room for that, but that can be turned up under different processes.
Right. What the main thing is to do is we have to learn how to bring our subconscious out more while we're awake instead of just when we're asleep. See, when the physical mind goes to sleep, then the subconscious takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when all the action starts in. But you got to learn to bring the subconscious out while the physical is awake, and the action will happen when you're well aware of yourself in this world, see.
So while we're awake and conscious, we're dealing with physical things ordinarily.
Right.
And whenever we're in an altered state of consciousness, which sleep is, then we're running around doing other things, and the two seem to have some sort of a line of separation as far as our conscious memory is concerned.
Right.
But you can cross that veil and get over and learn a lot of things that are quite valuable to you. Tonight, it's Open Mind, and I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me, speaking on a conference line from St. Paul, Minnesota, is Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt. They are with a group there which has done an awful lot of extensive work and study in this phenomenon known as the out-of-body experience. And I'd like to hear from you and your questions about the many things that they have to offer, and challenge them a little bit later if it's all right and if you think you can do it. Jerry may come visit us here in the studio in Los Angeles, and this is something I just popped on in front. I didn't set this up with you guys, and it's all right if you want to back out on that one, because it is asking a lot. But we'll see if that can happen. They're very proficient at this particular phenomenon. We'll be back in just a moment. I have fascinating questions to ask you, and if I can just kind of recap some of the things we have discussed in the past, that there are two basic areas that you can travel in the out-of-body state. On this plane, the earth plane, or the physical plane, which we would travel in as physical beings anyway, but you can transcend into the other side, the realm of the spiritual. What is it like over there?
Depends upon where you want to go, Bill.
All right.
You can go to the first and second plane of the spiritual, and it's not too nice of a place.
Would that be equivalent to the hell that we read about in the Bible?
Right, but it's not like there's no brimstone and fire there.
Did the Apostle Paul lie to us? Or was that just some symbolism that we have taken for factual data?
Right. Now, you got to remember this. Now, we all are part the creator.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of, and he can create, or the creator can create, and we're part of the creator, so we can create. All right, now let's say I'm brought up a real strict Christian of brimstone and fire, and I did bad, and I figured I have to go through that, because when I leave the body. Well, for a while, I'm going to go right into that. I'm going to create it around me until I realize, hey, there's more to this than just this, you know, than brimstone and fire and come out of it.
So you're saying that when you move into the out-of-body state, the creative prowess that we have, because we are all creatures of God and like God or the creator... We can exercise that much more and actually create whatever we want to create.
That's right.
Does anyone else experience this creation of ours, or is it simply for our own amazement?
Explain that to me again.
Well, I go out of body, and I believe I've been a bad person, so I create a hell around me.
Right.
Would anyone else experience that hell, or has it just been created just for me?
Just for you.
If you were traveling with me in the out-of-body state, you wouldn't necessarily experience the hell that I had created for myself.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't experience it at all, because I didn't. You created it, I didn't.
I see.
You go even through this life, Bill, right here on Earth.
Well, we're always creating hell for ourselves in the physical plane.
Right. We're always, you know, you only are, like I always say, you only are as what you think you are.
You are what you think.
Yeah.
Even more than what you are what you eat.
And you'd be surprised how powerful those thoughts are.
Well, thoughts are in the virtual state, and they have an enormous amount of power about them. And we do a lot of that creating even on the physical level, but it's probably more dramatic on the non-physical level.
But
where thought is actually the wings of creation anyway, isn't it?
That's right. Take that chair you're sitting in.
Well, I didn't create it, but I'm certainly glad it's here.
It had to come from a thought before it could even get a... And then on the paper, a blueprint, and then it had to be built with material things. But the first thing, it had to come from a thought.
But if you were on... in the astral level, or on the other side, the non-physical plane, if you needed a chair, you could just...
It'd be right there.
Think it into being.
Right.
Because you have the creative powers of the creator, which is a part of you.
That's right.
Now, there are levels out of the body that just look Earth-like also.
Are they?
So that when you get out, you don't have to worry that it's going to be a real strange place you're going to, but actually there's many things there that are quite familiar.
Well, is that familiarity because of our unconsciousness and we're creating them to be familiar? Or are we literally... exploring a different place that would be new to us.
Right. In other words, it's a different place.
I see.
Except sometimes there's a little twist to it. In other words, you have a home here in the physical. Mm-hmm. And when you get out of the body, you might find that you have your home there also, but it looks a little different sometimes. You might have an added room here or there. And the reason for this would be is maybe you wouldn't be able to afford to duplicate that house that you have in the astral because of financial conditions here on Earth. And so then you would find a little bit of a difference.
You don't have financial problems on the other side, or have the bankers got into there too?
Well, that's a good question. But, in other words, you can create that house in the astral that you want.
I see.
But the physical house may be a little bit different because of constraints here.
I know there are a lot of people that are wondering about... If we're talking about reincarnation, and you're on the other side where there are spirits that have lived here on this side, and they want to know if I will meet my mother or father or loved one over there, what really happens here? Because if reincarnation is true, your mother or father who may be on the other side has also been many mothers and many fathers, and perhaps many fathers and many mothers. How do you delineate all of those different earthly personalities that a person has, the last of which was that of your mother, let's say?
See?
When she may have been someone else's father in the life prior to that and on down the line.
Well, you got to... if I wanted to visit, let's say my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to the astral, and my grandmother will appear to me, will come to me like she looked here on Earth, like I would remember her.
She is your grandmother, but she is also someone's mother and someone else's child.
That's right. And then,
she may have been someone else's father, right?
And then, couple lives back, if they'd want to visit, she would appear to them the way she looked at that time of her life here on Earth.
So is this a creation of yours or hers, for your edification or hers?
This is a creation of hers.
To satisfy your needs.
I did an experiment on that a couple of years ago just to see how that worked. And what I did is I wanted to go see my grandmother who died about 20 years ago. And I finally met her, and she looked to me just like she did the last time I saw her 20 years ago. And then I said to her, now, what do you look like? What did you look like when you were 15 years old? Because I kind of wanted to know, do people age here in the outer body condition? Or do they have control over what they look like? And she says, and after I asked her what she looked like when she was 15, she says, well, I can hardly remember that. But then, all of a sudden, all the wrinkles went away on her face, and she looked just like she did when she was 15. And before me stood a 15-year-old.
What if you had asked her, what did you look like three lifetimes ago?
Then she would have probably changed into that.
Which could have been anything.
Right.
Fascinating stuff. You ready to talk to the callers? They're beginning to line up here.
Okay.
And we haven't even given out the number. And we want you to make your questions, if you will, for these gentlemen who are proficient at the out-of-body experience. They have learned a great deal there. They have a lot to share with you about the spiritual side of life. And there is more to it than most people seem to realize. So talk to those who are involved with it, and let's find out where you're coming from. I know, as a matter of research here, that most everybody in Los Angeles, guys, seems to go out of body at night. I think we lose half the population or more. But I haven't gone yet, or at least having a conscious memory of it. So one of these days I will. That's no problem. And we'll get to our callers in just a second. Let me give you the numbers if you'd like to talk to Jerry. We're part of us. Yeah.
You know, remember last time when I talked to you when I was on the program?
Right.
We were going to get together and think of something good to come up with, kind of to prove that this actually happens.
Yes.
And I come up with an idea and see what you think of it.
Okay.
I thought would be really be a great idea within the next year, when I can get my time together and you get your time together, I'd like to come out there, you know, to be live on the show.
Well, when you can make it out here, we'll find time for you.
And what I want to do is let the callers call in, and you talk to them, and I'll be in if you got a separate room there for me, I'd like to project out and go to the caller's house and then come back, explain what their house and what they look like.
Well, I just think that's great. We were going to do that a little earlier, but a little more long distance. We could do that with a call. Is it too much trouble for you to come to St. Paul to Los Angeles in a matter of a minute or two and then come back? We could try it that way. Or is it easier for you if you're in the same
town? Well, I'd much rather come out there because...
Yeah, we're stretching you just to get to come to the studio.
I mean, that's...
All right, I tell you what. Let's do that.
How does that sound?
That sounds great to me. You let me know when you're going to be out here.
Well, I would like to make a date with you on that.
Well, let's see. We're booked into August already, so in September, October, November, somewhere along there.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You will be out here in person.
Right.
We will put you over in Studio C. And,
nice and quiet.
A nice and quiet place in there. It's the network studio. In fact, that's where we'll put you. Nice, big, comfortable. Very posh. I'll work here in little old Studio C, D, which is nice, big, and posh, and comfortable also. But you and I won't see each other, but the callers will call in, and you'll just zip out and see them, and then come back and talk to them about their surroundings. I think that would be fantastic.
That's been on my mind for last year. I wanted to do, try that.
Now, if you can come see us before this night's over and tell us what Mr. Hurley looks like, who is our resident engineer, is keeping the kilocycles all shaved up, what David looks like, who's in with us the first night on our production coordinator duties, and myself, what I'm wearing, the strange clothes that I'm wearing, or whatever you may find and experience, I think that would be fascinating, too. Well, we've got the gauntlet thrown down here. You ready to go to the callers? But you're on that, Jerry. Just let me know the week you can come out, and we'll put her in.
Okay.
All right. Justin, you're on.
Good evening, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Jerry and Jim.
Hello.
I've had out-of-body experiences several times, and what I wanted to ask you guys was, apparently my leaving my body is a result of narcolepsy. I'll when it happens, it's usually I'm very tired and very fatigued. And when I'm sleeping, I'll find myself suddenly my breathing is cut off. And I feel this sort of panic as though, you know, someone who's, you know, deep underwater and trying to reach the top of the air.
Do you have a problem with narcolepsy?
Apparently that's what's been, you know, I've talked with several people and, you know, have had this kind of experience.
Well, I mean, have you been diagnosed?
I have, you know.
Well, do you fall asleep at times you don't want to fall asleep and things like that?
I fall asleep and I'll find myself separating, but yet, and, you know, eventually I will separate and buzz around the house for, who knows, could be seconds, could be minutes. I'm not, I can't tell. But it's what bugs me, I'm into spirituality, and what bugs me is the fact that I want to go through with it, but when it happens, I'm really scared that I won't come back. And I wonder how I can, you know, since it's going to happen, if it's happening, how I can possibly deal with it at the moment. Because at that moment, I'm conscious that I can't breathe, I know where I am, but yet
it's a perfectly normal experience that you're going through, and as far as how to deal with it, the only way that you can get over this is to do it a number of times, because the panic is coming over you because you think that you have to be in a physical body, or that there's something going to happen to it, or that you can't survive without it. So, I know I went through that same experience many times, and instead of looking at it as something to dread, I actually enjoy the different experiences that I go through, and sometimes they sneak up on you, as though, you know, you mentioned you had difficulty breathing or something like that, but this is a stage that you'll go through, so just go along with it several times.
When you guys travel, if somebody was to come in, let's say if you were just lying on your bed and decided you wanted to, you know, travel out of your body, if someone were to come and check on your body, what do you find, a heartbeat, a pulse, or?
Well, I would say that if somebody's going to check on your body, chances are you would be back in the body before that would ever happen.
They would disturb you.
You wouldn't have to worry about it.
They would disturb you, and that would bring you back instantly.
Right. The difficulty is in staying out of the body, and any slight disturbance many times just brings you back right away.
Justin, I want you to be careful about the use of that term, narcolepsy. Find out if that is an ailment that you have, because it can be a serious one and needs to be treated and can be treated. Instead of listening to your friends, see a doctor on that. And but again, from what I have heard, you're not experiencing anything unusual.
And another thing I want to ask, I'm an atheist. Now, I think it was Jerry Jim said he's a Christian.
I'm everything.
He's everything.
Do you conceive of there when you're out of your body? I'm sure one of the first things I would, you know, once I learned, hopefully learned to control it, is if there is a God, you know, supposedly there is a God, would I see more? Being an atheist, would I interpret what I see in my way?
You'd get some new education, I think.
Whether you're Christian, non-Christian, or an atheist, all of those different types of beliefs will not stop you from projecting out of the body. And atheism may change a little bit in the fact that you're now going to be able to observe the universe and all the many different other things that are in it, and it may open up maybe a new reverence or a new way to look at it, such that you realize that the universe is much, much larger than you ever dreamed of.
That's the whole point. I realize that when I like to sit out by myself, I realize I try to touch what I would touch my origin, where I came from, what it was, you know, where all things come from, be it God or whatever.
Well, you know the old saying,
the essence of creation, what it is, the seed, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, everybody's looking for that origin. And, of course, remember the old saying that if you know yourself, you will then know God. So that's the direction to look.
I think, Justin, it might be quite interesting to you in that you've had some experiences in being able to move into the other realm, the out-of-body realm, even though you've just flitted around your house a little bit, to go on outside, and you will find helping hands along the way when you're in that realm, and you will go to school, and you will learn some things, and all of us will, about all of our belief systems that we have. All of them are manufactured in the mind of man, and that wasn't the mind that manufactured the universe. And you can come closer to that.
One last quick thing. Is there any way you can influence the physical world when you're in your spiritual? Can you appear to people that you want to, like if you're in your spiritual form,
you know,
want to appear to Gaddafi and give him a heart attack?
I doubt if you could do that, but that is a good question, Justin, and I'd like for the guys to answer that, but we want to take just a little break. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on Talkle. If you're in the out-of-body state, we want that answered quickly in just a moment.
We all live with pain, and like me, you...
...separated from our physical self. We call it the out-of-body experience. Ever heard of that? Well, listen. Because we have two masters of that particular art, Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt of Search and Prove, their organization in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're on the line with us tonight. And Justin is on the line. He had asked a good question when we had to stop and do a lot of business here about can you influence, when you're in the out-of-body state, gentlemen, the activities of the physical?
That's for Jerry. I think he's pretty good at that.
Okay, Jerry, you're on.
Yes, you can.
You can?
Yes, because...
Well, now, Jim, we pinched me, and I never did know it.
Yeah, you didn't use enough energy for it.
I see.
But I know I had a daughter that was doing poorly in school. And,
can you speak up just a little bit, Jerry?
I had a daughter. She was doing not too good in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her in the physical, and, you know, when they're not teenagers, it goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, that doesn't sound very normal.
at night, I'd work with her.
In the out-of-body state?
Out-of-body. And she didn't realize I was doing this. And on her next report card I got, she went from where she was down to a D average. I brought her up to a C, and after that, I got her up to a B average for the rest of the year.
Well, whenever you say you worked with her in the out-of-body state, was she out-of-body and you working with her in spiritual level?
I was just, I'd walk over to her bed. I'd go to her bed when I was out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd work with her subconscious mind.
I see. I think Justin had in mind something more physical than that. Justin, correct me if you're wrong. If you could indeed, in the out-of-body state, go into the presence of somebody and do something physical that they could react to in the physical level. Is that what you were meaning, Justin? Well, let me punch you in, Justin. You still there?
Yeah. Basically, to find out, if you can avert some disaster that's going to happen to people, you know, if you can intervene and, you know, save people or do something to...
In other words, an actual physical activity that you, something that you in the out-of-body state could do in a physical way.
Yeah, you know.
All right, that was the question. Guys, can that be done?
Yeah, it can be done. But you really got to have you really got to be a powerful person out of the body in order to do it. But,
it doesn't happen very easy, let's put it that way.
Right.
Okay, Justin?
All right,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much, fellas.
Thank you for waiting on there.
Hey, it's no problem. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and we have Constantine. Hello, Constantine.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Super.
Great. Gentlemen, this is a two-part question. First, how can you be sure that when you're having an out-of-body experience, it's not just living out a fantasy that you're desperately trying to experience, and if it's not that, it's truly reality. Secondly, if it is possible, how could I go about achieving that experience?
Good question, and I'd like that answer myself.
Well, that's the thing that I started out with, and it took me 3 years to prove that answer to myself. Because before I met Jerry, I had been projecting out of the body. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I was doing, for 2 or 3 years at a rate of about once per month. But I couldn't get myself convinced that this is what was actually happening. I thought I was, I called it playing with dreams or maybe an advanced dream state.
Right.
But after I met Jerry, one of the tests that I went through was I was going to project over to his house and have a conversation with him out of the body. Because he told me once that, unlike most people, he's conscious all night long, whereas most people who go to sleep at night turn their minds off and don't remember anything when they wake up in the morning. So I thought I'd put that claim to a test. So what I did is when I had one of these occurrences take place, I pushed myself over to Jerry's house. And it was kind of an exciting trip for me because it was the first time that I was ever out of the body that length of time, and also it was the furthest trip I had made to date. And I actually flew over to his house above the clouds.
May I ask a quick question here?
Yes.
While you were experiencing that, did you ever, for one moment, think, and please don't take this wrong, but did you ever for one moment think that it wasn't happening and you might be going crazy?
Exactly.
And if that experience ever happened to me suddenly out of nowhere, I'm sure that if I had any moments of sanity, I'd lock myself up somewhere. It's not something that we're taught to believe in from children.
Right. In fact, as I was going over there, I fly airplanes, and I was actually above the clouds just watching the wisps of the clouds go by, and I looked around, and I thought, now, how can't this be real?
Hmm.
And I landed about 2 blocks from Jerry's house and started walking in his direction, and about 50 feet ahead of me was this girl who was also walking in the same direction I was. And I was walking pretty fast because I wanted to get there before the experience faded. And as I passed the girl, I took a real close look at her, and she looked at me and she said, you know, I don't know what's going on. I got here about a week ago because I died of pneumonia. And anyway, I finally got to Jerry's house, and he was sitting by the organ bench, and I was standing in the middle of the room, and his wife was there. And he turned around and he says, well, you finally made it. And we both shook hands, and we talked a minute or two about being out of the body. And finally I said, no, I have to go. I'll call you tomorrow. So I left, found myself, went back home again. I flew back home again, got back in the body, and I wrote everything down. And
did you need somebody to contact and actually verify the fact that this happened? I mean, did you just buy it yourself, or did you...
In other words, this was my experience that happened.
Pardon me?
Now, when I called Jerry up the next day, I asked him a series of questions. We got together, and I said, now, Jerry, I said I was here last night. Do you remember that? He said, yeah. Of course, that didn't convince me. So I said, where was I standing when you first saw me? And he says, well, you were standing in the middle of the living room. And I says, well, where were you? And he says, oh, I was on the organ bench. And I asked him if his wife was around. He says, yeah, she was standing next to me. And so all the questions, all the experiences that I had, he verified, and there was just no way that he knew about it beforehand.
So that proved to you that it wasn't just living
out of... That proved to me that something was going on than just dreaming, yeah.
Hmm. Second part of the question, if I have the guts to try, how would I go about achieving an out-of-body experience? Is there a process or some type of meditation or something that I could do to prepare myself for this journey?
Well, we do have a real nice course for you to follow. We publish a course that we give out a set of instructions each month for 6 months. And if you follow these, by the end of 6 months, you should have a pretty fair idea in what you have to do to
get yourself out of the body.
Could you briefly describe to me what some of the steps are that have to be taken? Is it meditation? Is it just getting a more conscious contact with
God? Relaxation will be part of it. And as I look back, because I've been projecting for about 10 years now, and as I look back, I think the most important part in getting yourself started in this is to remember the different experiences and episodes that happen to you at night when you're sleeping, especially if you have a real clear dream. Because I remember I used to ask myself now, after I would wake up after having a real vivid experience at night in a dream, now, how is it that I'm able to see something when my physical eyes are shut and I'm fast asleep? And use that as your starting point.
Hmm. I have had experiences where I was thinking I was about to wake up from a dream, being very aware of the fact consciously that I was still dreaming, and it was almost like it was two people thinking and doing at the same time. Is that the beginning
of
an out-of-body experience?
That's the beginning, right.
Hmm.
Well, Constantine, you're close.
I'm close.
Right.
And I'm very envious.
Well, if I ever get it working, Bill, I'll try to come down and visit you whenever I have a chance.
Okay.
Maybe we can discuss it right over the air.
All right.
Gentlemen, thank you for your answers.
All right, Constantine, thank you for checking in with us tonight.
Thank you.
Do you still feel up to making a trip tonight, Jerry?
Well, we got 2 hours yet. Yeah, Bill?
Yeah.
The reason I'm not talking much, I'm getting myself relaxed here.
Oh, okay, so you're working on it.
I'm working on it.
Okay. That'll be just fascinating if you can do that. We're dealing with the out-of-body experience tonight with Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt. Jerry is getting himself relaxed because we just tossed something at him at the top of the show, did not check with him in front of him, and he could have certainly said that this is not the time, but he's going to give it a shot, or he's relaxing to see if he can give it a shot, and that's to journey all the way from St. Paul, Minnesota, tour the studio, tell us what it's like here, and we'll go back and get back on the phone and tell us what it's like here, whatever he's seen. We'll be extremely honest with you, and just a little bit of something for a Saturday night, a low-stress Saturday night in Los Angeles, as we try to explore a little bit more of this enormously fascinating subject, going out of body, on Talk Radio 79, KABC.
In 1760...
Thank you. I was very much interested in Jerry's first comment about being a part of the Creator. It seems to me that the main point of all this out-of-body thing would be just this thing of being, realizing you're a part of unity consciousness, or a part of the unity. Is that what you see the main purpose of it, Jerry, or not?
Yes, I do. You're right on that. That we're part of this consciousness of the whole universe.
Okay. I have never experienced, I know I've been out of body, but I've never consciously been aware of being out of body like you people talk about it. And the reason I didn't think that it was of itself was important as a phenomena. To me, the important thing is of course, to obtain unity consciousness no matter what way you do it. And I feel probably there are other ways. What do you say to that?
Yeah, there are other ways, but no. You got to take in consideration that was one of the keys that were given to us to find this unity.
Right.
And maybe everybody else, different people, march to different drummers. Maybe this isn't their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but I found that this key that I got to open myself to get out, I had it all my life. So it must have been put there for a purpose.
Right.
And I feel
I told him
to
call. Tell him in a few moments, about 10:30 or so, I'll get to him. So just hang on.
I feel as though that everybody should know how to unlock that key, unlock that lock, so they can experience the same things that I'm doing.
Okay, I am very much aware of my dreams every day. In fact, I usually record them every morning. But I don't seem to get an association in those dreams of unity consciousness. I get some feeling of guidance of what I'm supposed to do, but not the feeling of unity consciousness.
you feel that way?
Well, in other words, I'm aware of dreams.
Right.
And I feel that it's some part of guidance to guide my life, you know, to govern my actions of the day, but I don't get any sense of unity consciousness in it.
Well, the whole process is a process of waking up. So in a sense, your eyelids are just flickering open now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to bring more and more of your mind to bear on what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that feeling will start to come out.
So I just got to keep at it, what you're saying.
Practice. That's the key right there of practicing.
Keep practicing and working on it.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll get the dope on your course, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like you're making some good steps there, Roger.
Well, I feel good. Of course, I've only been at it for, what, a half a million or a million or 2 years?
Right.
You
yeah.
know.
But you're making me jealous.
Well, I think it's there, and my hunch is, little old Bill, you're just fighting it. Okay.
You know, the whole problem is, in the life before, Bill, you probably were a whiz at this.
Well, I was told.
And all this might hear something.
I was told by a transmedium that I used to terrorize things over there, and I got a traffic ticket, and I have been grounded. So I terrorize everybody on the physical level. Now, that may have been some sort of a metaphor, but I have fun with it anyway.
Well, I think another point is, which utterly amazed me, I was reading Ken Wilber's book, No Boundary. And his point is, he said, basically, all of us are always fighting unity consciousness because the fact is we might lose our little ego.
Well, we probably
would. Right.
And I think that's probably part of it, probably the main part of the whole thing. What do you think, Jerry?
I think you hit a real good point right there. People are scared to lose it.
Yeah. We lose our ego, God, we don't have anything. Of course, we get everything.
See, people, I think so. Two people are afraid they're going to lose their identity.
Yeah.
And that scares them.
Right.
You're going to lose something instead of gain something.
Right.
Well,
they only know what they can gain from it.
Tell me a little about what you feel you've gained, your experience, what you have perceived or gained, so we can get more encouragement.
Good question, Roger.
Well, what I gained took me hours. But everything that happens in this world doesn't mean much to me no more, you know. Because I know there's a purpose for everything.
Right.
And it doesn't excite me. I never feel sorry. Because I know it's there for a purpose. I feel like I look into the universe. I always go feel I got so much more coming that I don't have time to look back. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it just seems like every morning when I wake up, I feel I gotta accomplish something today because I gotta go on.
Yep.
And ever since I've been doing this, it's just the way my whole life would go. And then to make everything easier by going this way, I have no material problems.
Yeah, right.
It's like everything just fits in place that I can carry on what I want to do.
Right.
Well, there's a good enough motivation to get anybody started.
Anybody going, sure.
Okay, Roger.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Appreciate the questions, and they were good ones.
Thank you. My pleasure. Good talk to you.
It's open mind. I'm Bill Jackson. Some other uses for the out-of-body experience, perhaps, guys, that could be well used on this side of the level. Or of life, and that is using the ability of the out-of-body traveler to do some things for us in physical life that we physically cannot do ourselves. Like law enforcement. Have you thought about that?
Jim, you want to take that? Well, law enforcement is something that we haven't gotten into much at all. But just as far as the practical matters go, here, some months ago, my dad mentioned that he was wondering whether the water in the well that we have out in back was starting to go down at all. So what I did is I projected out of the body, and I went out in the backyard and went over to the well, and I followed the pipe down into the ground. And as I was following this pipe down, I kind of measured off with my arms just how far down I was going to see what the level of water was that was down there yet, whether it was going up or down, or whether we were going to run out of water, or what was taking place. And I got down about 20 feet, and all of a sudden, I hit plenty of water. So I know that there wasn't any difficulty there. Of course, I didn't tell my dad I did this, but I knew he didn't have anything to worry about.
Well, there is a group here in the Los Angeles area, the United Sensitives of America. They have guested on the show. These include psychics and transmediums and all of those that are involved in what we'd call, I guess, the psychic arts. And we have one of their representatives on the phone right now, Mr. Fred Hansen. Fred?
Yes, Bill. Thank you very much. And Mr. Gross, Mr. White, I have a... give you a little more background. And again, thanks, Bill, for the lead-in. But I am a psychic, and the organization that I represent, which you mentioned, called United Sensitive of America, is right now is a fairly small unit, but we're all citizens that are interested in helping the police in whatever way we can. Now, my question, in fact, we've been somewhat successful and have built some sort of some semblance of a credibility in some law enforcement areas. But my interest, and I'm sure all of our interests are, in the use of out of body in crime. Needless to say, I would like at this point, before I ask my first question, is I would like to have, if I may, have any people that Jerry Gross or Jim White might know out here in Los Angeles that they could, you know, which I left them a number, they could probably give us a call. But we'd be interested in talking to any of them here or any of those people in the audience who can go out of body. But we'd be interested naturally at will, and you can understand the reason for that. Now, we've been, as I said, been very somewhat fortunate and have been pulling a very fine team together, but we'd like to know what, in essence, what they might have to say in reference to this.
Well, I worked with the St. Paul police on one occasion where a girl...
Could you speak up just a little bit there, Jerry?
Yeah, I worked with the St. Paul Police Department where one girl was murdered. And I projected out, and I had newspaper reporter with me. And we pointed out to her where the body was. They never did, and they found the body there. But as far as going in, up here in Minnesota... It's not just right yet to work with the police. You know what I mean?
But you can see that there would be valuable work.
Oh, real good. I hear that all the time. We should get a group like that going all over the country.
Well, that's the idea. If I may interject here, that's the idea. We've been with this 6 years now. This isn't just a new organization.
I think I've seen a piece of you. Were you on television?
Well, we've been pretty much anonymous, and that's the way we actually would like to stay, really. I asked Bill if we could talk with you in reference to you knowing anyone here in the Los Angeles area, or as I said, to reiterate, those people in the Los Angeles area who might be able to do out of body at will, but who would have to be naturally interested in the negativity factor of which we're all aware, and that is of going into a residence possibly that may have that negative value. What would you say in reference to that?
Well, I have a lot of people in that area that are taking my course, and I get letters from them that they can astral project now, and I'd be glad to drop a note to get in touch with you.
Why don't we do two things, Jerry?
Yes.
First of all, it would be very kind of you to drop a note to your correspondents out here that have indicated that they now have gotten to where they can do the out-of-body very well. And those that may be listening who would be interested in doing something rather valuable for their community and involving themselves in some valuable research and perhaps some investigation that is well-controlled. contacting United Sensitives of America. Fred, what's your number?
Oh, great. That's fine. It's 213 area. It's 658-6588. And it's a natural. I will be here all day tomorrow waiting for calls. If I can give one other number, may I, Bill?
Sure.
Okay, it's 818-954-8458. And may I just say in closing, and when you set up Mr. White and Mr. Gross for your experiment, this may also be is very much of an interest, I'm sure, to United Sensitives of America and to psychics that are in our field, in the security field. I would like to be either used in any way, as many as you would like to use, Bill, that's between the two of you, and I would like to be a beacon for you, or I especially would like to feel your presence, if you will, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
You mean in a psychic way?
That's correct.
All right, well, too bad you're not down here now because Jerry's going to come see us.
That's what I was going to, I was worried about. I was wondering, okay, that's, if not, Bill, then maybe the next time, all right?
All right.
I want to thank you very much for your time and your consideration.
Well, congratulations to you and your group, Fred. It's been a long, hard battle for these concerned citizens who do work anonymously. I've gone through the birth pains with them over the years. And it is growing, and I'm so delighted to see it happening.
God bless you, and it's thanks to you that we are growing. God bless.
No, it's thanks to your hard work, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night. The question, the information, the fascination lies with the out-of-body experience that you do all of the time, evidently. You may not remember it, but you do. And we're talking to two people who are quite proficient in this particular function of this complex known as the physical spiritual being, this human that we are. And we have a lot of questions lined up. We'll get to those in just a moment on Talk Radio 79 KABC.
You don't...
And the ears are pointed. Do you have any idea what they look like? In other words, they got pointed ears like Mr. Spock on Star Trek. So I wondered if it was copied from that.
Do you have any idea how tall this individual is? Welcome in.
Yes. Well, let's see. I have a couple of things that I wanted. My principal question was also along the lines of what has already been asked. I'm interested in what I can do to further that experience. I just finished reading a book by Robert A. Monroe called Far Journeys, which I would...
Great book, isn't it?
Yeah, I would like to highly recommend it to anybody who's interested in this subject.
He's been on the show a number of times.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yes.
That's interesting.
Okay. We introduced that very book on the show.
All right. I've been considering going back to Virginia and taking their program there. That was one thing that I wanted to ask, was whether these men or yourself had knowledge of that program. And
I would highly recommend it to you if you can do that.
Uh-huh. Have you done it?
No, I haven't, but that's only simply because of scheduling problems,
uh-huh.
Because it is one of those things I am going to do.
Yeah, I am as soon as possible. I was told that they don't have any openings yet until September. So that was what I was interested in, was methods that I can use to bring that experience about.
Well, Jerry and the Search Improve group, in case you've missed it, Frank, have a program that you can go through here.
Yes.
And do you have an address where someone can write you, Jerry?
Yeah, they can write to Search Improve, Box Key, St. Paul Park, Minnesota, 55071.
And that way you can get the monthly programs. You have a series of six booklets.
Uh-huh.
And I must admit that I haven't gone out of body, and I have the booklets, so it's because I've been lazy and just haven't started going through the program.
All right.
Not lazy, but busy.
That was box T as in Tom?
K, like in Gilroy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what we do with our program is we work with individuals through the mail, and our program is a correspondence program, so that after you go through a series of several lessons, there's a number of questions that you'll answer at the end and send back to us. And we'll keep in touch with you as you go through it each month with little pointers and hints on what to do and how you're doing.
Uh-huh. Great. Let's see. Gosh, I lost my notes here. There were a couple of other... Oh, one thing that I also wanted to outflow to someone who might be interested, this subject of talking to past relatives and stuff came up, and there's a section in a book called Ramtha.
Yes.
On life after life that gives some fascinating information about that.
We will have Ramtha on here in the next month or so.
Great. I'll be keeping up to hear that program. One other thing, I would like to find out if they or you have any other books along this line to recommend.
One of the things that we also do besides projecting, because you know a lot of people aren't really interested in learning how to project. A lot of times they just like to read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that we also have are, because Jerry Gross is also a transmedium, and several of his spirit guides speak through him. And we've recorded the different lectures that the spirit guides have given us, and in some we've have them on paper, and others are on tape. And so you can write us at our search and prove address,
okay,
and get the information on what these are about too.
Great. One last thing. My wife is aware of having out-of-body experiences and things along that lines. One that I recall is she went and observed our niece being born and knew what sex the child was before we ever received any information from the family. And she wanted to know if there was something that she could do to make this experience more conscious.
Yeah, that's the part that you're always going to be working on, is how to make all of your experiences more and more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit guides have given us directions on how to do that. And it involves a bit of relaxation or meditation, because what happens during the relaxation or meditation process that they've given us, if you follow it, is that the spirit guides, your own personal spirit guide, they are the ones that open up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that will unlock the locks, as Jerry puts it, so that you do become more conscious as time goes by.
Yeah.
And you got to remember this, too, that the lock will not be opened until you are ready for it. If you're not ready for it, it's not going to be opened.
You can just sit and pound at the door all day like,
right,
like somebody I know.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Jim take it for a while now, because I'm going to come and visit you now.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll just
lay the phone down and...
Okay. We're going to, in case you tuned in, or are tuning in late, we're talking to Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt. They're in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jerry, they're out-of-body travelers. Now, Jerry has just laid the phone down there in St. Paul, and he has never been to Los Angeles in his life. He has no idea where the KABC studios are, and he is going to come into our studios in the out-of-body state, check it out, and come back to the phone in a little while and tell us what he saw. Now, you believe me, I will be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, mm-hmm, I'm actually kind of surprised Jerry said that, because here about 4 or 5 years ago, we did that very thing when we did had an interview up in Canada,
mm-hmm,
and it worked out real good. And afterwards, the next day when I talked to Jerry, he said, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. The chance for error is just too great.
Well, we know going in that the chance for error is great, and we will forgive you for that. And also, they didn't know I was going to ask them to do it. I just sprung it on them, and they're being good sports. Jerry is, because it's, there it is. We hope it works. It is an experiment. He may get lost along the way. This may be one of the nights that he can't get out. There are a lot of things that could go wrong with this, but if it goes right, I think it'll be fascinating.
Yeah, I think so, too. It probably helped that you did spring it on him, because that way...
I hadn't thought of it.
You didn't have anything to worry about.
That's it.
Beforehand.
All right, Frank, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And best of luck to you. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on KABC Los Angeles. A body experience, doing it, researching it, finding out about a lot of things which seem to be denied us on this physical level. Now, at the present time, we are conducting an experiment. Jerry has sitting there in St. Paul, has decided to go out of body and visit us here in the studio. He's never been here. In fact, he has never been to Los Angeles. I did not give him a road map. I don't know how he's going to find it. But, and then he will check back. He laid the phone down about 5 or 6 minutes ago, and I guess when he's back, he'll pick it up, and we don't know how this is going to go, folks, but Jerry, if you're here, I'm smoking some cigarettes, you know, what brand? Some things like that. All kinds of good stuff. Okay, we'll go on, though, while we're waiting for Jerry to check us out here and go to Lynn. Hi, Lynn, welcome aboard.
Hi. I seem to have dreams at night that are about past experiences, and I find that there are dreams that I shouldn't be having, so I stop the dream before it continues, and they're usually these sexual-type dreams. And I'm wondering what my husband says that he also gets my dreams in his mind, and I'm wondering what we can do, because I don't want to have these dreams, and these dreams are like coming into my thoughts in the daytime also then.
Are they just typical sexual dreams or really strange things going on?
Well, they should be strange because I'm married and have kids and things, and I shouldn't have dreams about that kind of stuff.
As long as it's just in your mind, huh? Right, the psychiatrist could talk to you about that a lot better than I can, but you may have some idea on that. We have Jim left.
Well, that was my first thought, although I suppose how you would look at these dreams that you're having probably depend a lot on what your attitude on the subject is about. Do you find that your attitude during the dream about this is different than your attitude when you're awake?
I'm very agitated during the day when I have those thoughts afterwards, and then my husband says it's, you know, sexual frustration from that. And so I'm wondering too, like, whatever you're talking about there, if he's having that experience through my dreams, because he's also, you know, experiencing it then in his his thoughts.
That whole subject area is kind of a touchy area. And I don't really know how much clarity I could give to your personal situation at all.
But if the dreams are troublesome to you, dreams are dreams. You're sharing those with your husband and everything, and they are bothersome. It would probably be a neat idea for you to talk to someone who has studied that phenomenon a lot, like a psychiatrist.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And, Al, we have you on the line.
Yes. Good evening, Bill, Jerry, Jim. Oh. If Jerry's still any place.
Well, no, I don't think he's here yet.
Well, he may be here.
You know,
Jerry? No, I don't see him, but
I sort of envy Lynn and Roger, who spoke earlier, because they have dreams that they can remember and that are sort of lifelike. Now, Bill, you can't get out of body. I can't have, or I don't have, maybe once every 3 months, a normal dream.
Hmm.
My dreams are like otherworldly things. Even colors are different. And
that could be a good sign.
Yeah, but the thing I really wanted to talk about was when you came on, I wanted to corroborate from my own experience something that you said about carrying over pains from former lives. Now, true, I did fall off a horizontal bar when I was 14 and landed on my right shoulder in the back of my neck, but I don't think it was serious enough to still, as far back as 3 years ago, still having this thing. So with the help of a therapist.
A past life therapist?
Yeah. We went back and examined 4 or 5 incidents that could be related to this life. Now, the one was, we skipped World War I, because I know I was in that, but we went back one life past that to out here in the West. I evidently had been a desperado, and I believe, and I want to go to Nevada and Arizona and check out some graves, I had killed two sporting ladies, and I was hung for it. And I remember going through the gallows.
You did this in past life therapy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They hypnotized you into in a regression sort of way.
In a regressive way, but I wasn't hypnotized.
Uh-huh.
So then we went back to another one, and I think I was black in this one, because I remember looking for a boat, and although I didn't get the boat, I did later on in this past life thing be in a canoe, and I'm going down this rapid river, and the canoe takes a dip, and I'm catapulted out, and I come to rest very fast on a large boulder, exactly the same place as the where the hangman's noose is. And we went back to another one, and this goes way back. It was in the times of the Crusades, and I'm on a white horse, and I have this coat of mail on, and I, with a broad axe, I had just lopped some guy's head off when, bang, I get it in this same place.
That was a long time ago.
Yes. But prior to going back in this regression, the man asked, he says, have you lived before? And I said, oh, yes. He says, how many times? I said, oh, many. He said, well, can you give me a number? And as though a neon light went on in my head, 2,876 came on.
It's a lot of shots at it.
And I've told some people this, and they get out their computers or start doing figuring. They say, well, that's going back for ways. And again, as though with no thought, I said, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I was always on this planet.
That's true.
The other one that had something to do with the neck was coming over from England, from the mainland to England. There was this battle. And again, if I ever get the loot, I'm going to go to Ireland or England or Scotland and look for this bust. But I was evidently a hero in that one. And the reason my neck was bothering me was because I had to sit so still while this fellow was making a sculptured bust. So this is just to, as I said, corroborate what you said when you first came on, because I feel that I've had a few pains in the neck along these past lives.
Well, a lot of people say that Bill's a pain in the neck.
Pardon?
Oh, Bill.
Pardon me?
I said a lot of people say that I'm a pain in their neck.
I think they're not very hip if they're saying that.
Yeah.
Because you've got the greatest show going.
Well, how nice of you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what were you saying there, Jerry?
I think Jerry's back.
I'm back, Bill.
Oh, you made it.
Yeah.
What did we find out?
Okay, have we got time before the news?
Actually, no.
Or should we wait till after the news?
We'll wait till after the news. That'll give you a chance to rest. But you made it all the way to Los Angeles?
I made it to Los Angeles.
You made
it? I was in your house.
You went to the house?
I went to the house first.
How are things over there?
Oh, I'll tell you about it after the news.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The way I do this, Bill, I have to mention your name.
Yes.
So I mentioned I'm going to see Bill Jenkins, you know.
Yeah.
And I was drawn to your house.
Did you get to the studio?
Yeah. And then I said, no, he's not here. So I had to come to the studio.
Okay. So you're going to tell us about the KABC studio and what you found at my house when we get back. Oh, I wish the news wasn't coming up. If you want to find Mel, tell us what he saw after the news on this session of Open Mind. Point of search and prove that we are talking about the out-of-body experience. And we just ourselves here may have in a interesting kind of way experienced it. Are you ready for it? All right. In case you missed the first 2 hours and the latter part of the last hour as an experiment that I tossed onto the boys. Now, they're talking to us from St. Paul tonight. I said, why don't you come out of go out of body and come to the studio? Sort of put that, not a challenge, it was a suggestion, and I had not talked with them about it before the show, and if they didn't want to do it, it was perfectly all right. And if they did want to do it and try it and it didn't work, it's perfectly all right. We're trying to do something here. So Jerry said, okay, I'll do it. And I guess it was about 30 minutes or so. He says, I'm putting down the phone now and coming. Now, all we have found out from Jerry, because he checked back in just as we were leaving for the news, was that he went to my home, which you've never been to. In fact, Jerry, you've never been to Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I've been to Los Angeles, but never to your home.
You certainly haven't been to my home. Nor have you been to KABC. Now, you didn't even have a road map, did you?
No.
Okay.
Hey,
OP,
you got a lot of towers on that building.
Yes, indeed.
Another thing that surprised me, I'm a little bit backward, was that I thought it'd still be light there.
It's probably just turned dark, but it is dark here.
Yeah, it was dark there. Lovely. Beautiful sight coming over the city.
Well, you went to my home first. What did you find?
Your home, I didn't see the outside. All right?
Okay.
Bright colors in the home. You like bright colors.
Okay.
Yellow walls.
Well, actually, the walls are more of a white, but they're bathed in incandescent light, so they would look yellow, I would imagine.
Another thing you never told me, I found out. You got a desk there, like an office light?
Yes.
And you're a writer.
What makes you say that?
Because I can snoop there. You like to write, don't you?
I have been known to do that. What did you see in there that let you believe that?
I just thought that son of a gun, he's a writer. That you like to write.
Well, the office was made so that I could do a lot of writing. It was specially designed for that.
Okay, thing. Now, when I came to the studio, I don't know, one thing blocked me. Do you have a girl working there?
Well, they're not with me, but they're with the FM station that's here.
If you got a girl working there with long, dark hair.
Is Libby still around here? Well, then that would be some of the staff over at the FM station. I'm not sure who's staffed over there tonight.
Then I hit the wrong one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then, okay, Bill, you got blue eyes?
They're mousy colored, but you could... They're not black and they're not brown. They're not blue.
Your engineer got light hair? Or I don't know if he's an engineer or not. I don't know.
That would be our new engineer in there, and we would call him our program consultant. My engineer is Auto Man, so, but the person sitting behind the glass window from me?
Right.
Light hair.
Right. Okay, now, don't forget, now, I went through there fast.
Yeah.
I did, and the colors weren't that good. So that could have been light hair or gray hair.
We can call it light hair.
Okay, are you, I'd say your age right around 50?
51.
Okay, and I hit that one right. Yeah, you look pretty good for that age, too. And, I don't know now. You don't smoke, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I may not have been smoking when you were here. In fact, I wasn't. I had the pack laid out for you to see.
Yeah, that's why I asked you right away. I didn't think you smoked, because there was a pack of cigarettes here.
Mm-hmm. Did you know what brand it was?
No.
Okay.
I didn't pay that much attention, because, therefore, I thought it was in the wrong studio, because I know you didn't have a girl working there.
No, we don't. Well, we do, but I don't think there's any here at this time.
Because I come through the top and down.
Mm-hmm. Any other thing you notice about the studio?
And I heard you talking. No, I didn't pay that much attention to the studio except for that glass window.
Yeah.
I heard you talking that you were like, I wonder if Jerry's here yet.
Yes, I did say that.
Now, Bill, I did this real fast, so I just can't get everything down pat.
Uh-huh.
But then I knew I had to get back here to get back on the phone.
Yeah. And you noticed, towers outside.
Right.
That's correct. Not too many radio stations.
Hey, I never knew you were associated with ABC.
Oh, yes. This is the originating point for the ABC Talk Radio Network.
Is that right?
And we're owned by the American
Broadcasting. That's where I got that, because I thought that was, that's where I always thought you guys were just a local station.
Well, we are, but we're also a network station, and we originate for the network, and it says ABC out front, doesn't it?
Yep. And that's where I figure I had the wrong studio.
Oh, you got it. Can you... Am I sitting at a little table, a big table, a table at all?
kind of, I don't know, that was kind of a dark table.
Yep.
Does, the lighting isn't too good there.
Well, no, I have the lights turned down. And
yeah. I couldn't tell what kind of clothes you were wearing.
Well, I am wearing clothes.
Yeah, you are. But.
It's a drag, but I am.
But by God, I know I was there. I got there. I heard you talk, and I seen that. What screwed me up was that girl. I thought, boy, I'm in the wrong place.
Well, yeah, you were over at KLOS. That's, you can go over there and. Most anything can happen to you. You know, it's a rock and roll FM station.
But, what do you write, though?
Well, I certainly do a lot of writing involved with this show. And in the research that I do and in some of the other interests that I have, the desk is made for that. There's a computer in there, typewriter in there, files in there, all kinds of research books. So, that would be right. It's a writer's office.
No, you know, if I would have known I was going to do this, I would have been there right away and spent some time.
Well, come back and visit us sometime.
Because I rushed here fast. Matter of fact, I probably shouldn't have even went. I wanted to come and see you.
Well, listen, I am glad you did, because you said enough to say to me that it's more than just guessing. I'm convinced about that. I don't think I've ever talked about my little office back there.
But you know what?
Yes.
I do want to mention the cigarette because I'm a smoker too.
Well, I keep the ashtray empty and I...
Bill?
Yeah.
And always remember that, you know, my teacher guide?
Uh-huh.
He gets on me ever so often for smoking.
Does he?
Yeah, but he says to me, he says, always remember this, if you're going to smoke... Never, ever let it think that it's going to hurt you. Because the day you start thinking that smoke is going to hurt you, he said, then you quit.
You have programmed yourself for that.
Right. But this is fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen. When you come out here the next time, you'll be here live.
We're going to get together and set up a date.
All right.
And I'm going to come out there and do that. Because that'd be... Then I can program myself and get ready for the whole thing.
Because in case you missed it earlier, what we're going to do the next time that Jerry and Jim are on, when you call, he's going to go out of body. We're going to put him over in another studio. He'll go out of body and go to your house and go where you are and come back and then talk to you from that perspective. I think that'll be fascinating. All right. Well, thank you for picking up the gauntlet there and coming out to Los Angeles and see us. You said enough to convince me that it was more than a guess. And I'm quite thrilled with that, actually.
I know. Was it a guess, Bill? It was just I thought it was in the wrong studio. But I knew that was your house.
Yes. Well, you certainly described a room that I've never talked about. And I don't think anybody would really know that. So that's quite interesting.
You're going to have to tell me sometime what you write about.
Oh. Channeling. We do a lot of channeling.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're into that, then.
That's,
great.
Well, it's into me. I can't say that I'm into that. But there it is sometime. We'll have to talk about that on the...
When
the
I come out there, you're going to have to spend some time together.
We certainly will. All right. Let us take a little break here. And I have something very, very interesting for you when we get back. A coming up event on Open Mind tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt of Search and Prove. It's KABC Los Angeles. Jim Voigt, they're in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jerry just made a quick trip to Los Angeles and to the San Fernando Valley. And we'll talk a little bit more about the accuracy of what he had to say. But I do want to take just a moment here before we continue on with our little trip into the world of the out-of-body to remind you that on May 31st, we will have what we're calling a UFO update, and I am bringing together as many of the respected UFO researchers, perhaps some contactees that I possibly can, to these microphones for a really no-holds-barred look at the reality of the extraterrestrial or the celestial. And also in the studio with me is Bill Moore, who certainly is one of our finest researchers. And Bill, there's something exciting happening. You want to fill us in on it?
Yeah, Bill, I would be glad to do that. I'm here tonight not so much to talk about UFOs as to talk about a UFO conference. Actually, I guess the best term for it would be a Fortean conference, because some of the speakers we're having are non-UFO. In Phoenix, next weekend, May 16th through 18th, at the Executive Park Hotel, which is at 1100 North Central Avenue in Phoenix. And this is the National UFO Conference, even though we're having some 40 speakers. And among those who are scheduled to deliver papers, Brad Steiger, who's very well known in areas of psychic research and out of body, as a matter of fact. He's one of the people who gets into that. Robert Schaefer, well-known skeptic.
Oh, listen.
It wasn't meant that way, but we'll play it.
He's going to tear everything down.
Stanton Friedman, who's been on the show many times, I might add.
Yes, he has.
A name from the distant past of ufology, Dan Fry, contactee from the early 1950s, a name that certainly circulated around for a long time.
He's certainly been on the show, too.
Also, people like Travis Walton, the well-known abductee from Arizona. Cal Korf, with the one of the skeptics on the Billy Meyer case. Timothy Green Beckley. Gary Kinder, a writer. Eric Beckyard, expert on Bigfoot up in the Pacific Northwest. And, of course, myself. More details, I guess the best way to get that would be either to call Hal Starr, who is the host for the conference. Hal is in Phoenix, and his phone number, if you've got a pencil, is area 602-944-4211. Or here locally in the Valley, you can call 818-506-8365, and please call that during business hours. And either there will be a tape on the line with information, or we'll pick up and answer it and talk to you personally, depending upon how late in the week you call. Once again, Friday through Sunday, May 16th, 17th, and 18th, the Executive Park Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, the National UFO Conference, featured speakers Stanton Friedman, Dan Fry, Robert Schaefer, Brad Steiger, Jim Mosley, Travis Walton, Cal Korf, Eric Beckyard, and myself. And I'm Bill Moore, and thank you for the time, Bill.
Well, listen, I think it's important, and I know that we have a large number of people in this audience that take valid, good, solid information about UFOs very seriously. And there is a lot to be learned, and there's a lot going on, and hopefully we're going to find out more.
Well, I think we will. I think this is going to be one of the best UFO conferences, certainly of 1986 and maybe of the 80s. You never
maybe
know.
Of the 80s. And I certainly tip my hat to all of the work that all of you have been doing in bringing this to the attention more and more of the people and doing it in a very viable way. Something believable and separating the wheat from the chaff and the mysticism from the baloney. And let's get down to the fact of the matter. And if you'd like to go, there's call those numbers, Hal Starr's place in Phoenix or the 818-506-8365 number, and get all of the details, and that's next weekend.
That's right.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Bill
thank
has
you.
Been on with us, and I hope you're on with us on May 3rd.
I certainly plan to be, yes.
And we'll get into it. Bill is the author of the Roswell Experiment.
Roswell Incident.
I mean, the Roswell Incident, of course.
And the Philadelphia
the
Experiment.
Philadelphia Experiment. Well, I'm just getting the two books mixed up. They're both fascinating reading.
Plug them both at once that way.
Marvelous newsletter that keeps us up to date on UFOs. I thank you for coming by, and best of luck to you at the conference, and give my best to everybody. With
I certainly will do that, Bill.
And we'll be back to our guests tonight, Jim Voigt and Jerry Gross. From Search Improve in just a moment. Through some things that impressed me about your report of your trip to Los Angeles here that was took place for about an hour ago. You weren't gone more than 10 or 15 minutes. Where you had a hit. The description of the house that you saw. You said the walls were yellow. Well, they're white, but there's indirect incandescent lighting on them, and at night they would have a yellow effect to you, so I can give you a mark on that one. You described the office that I have, and that was all custom-built, and it's brand new, so... it wasn't there not too long ago, and I suppose it's something I've never talked about, and certainly it's a writer's office that's in there. This radio station is one of the few radio stations in Los Angeles that has its antennas right here on the ground with it. Usually the radio stations are at one point in their transmitter sites or someplace else, so for out of the 98 radio stations for you to pick that on here, we're going pretty good. We've got sort of a brown-headed man sitting behind the desk in there. The table is dark. This studio, I just happened to have it dark today because I didn't have any guests here. I thought Bill Moore just dropped in while you were here, probably. There are young ladies in the KLOS across the hall. Everything that you said worked.
But, now, if you had called me, let me explain something to you, Bill. You had called me yesterday and said, Gary, tonight I want you to come to the studio. I would have had my mind more focused. You know, what I would absorb more. But on a quick trip like this here, I was in and out fast, and I really didn't absorb, you know.
Well, you did all right. If I'd have thought about it yesterday, I'd have called you. But I just thought about it as we opened the show. So, but next time...
I'll be there.
You're going to be here, and we'll try the other experiment.
Right.
Well, I'm satisfied with it. I believe it's more than just coincidence. I don't think it's something that you could have conjured up in your mind. Or if not, you're pretty good at that. Let's put it that way.
That's what I mean. That's why I can't see where everybody thinks that you're fascinating it or
right.
You know, imagining everything. How can you imagine something that's really there?
All right, let's take a look. Well, Bonnie, what did you think of that?
I think it's so exciting. I'm so glad I'm a part of it.
Well, thank you.
Right. And you, when you get ideas, put them into practice.
Well, not all of them.
Listen, the question I have is I've listened about reincarnation. I do automatic writing. I think I've gone out of body.
You too, huh?
Well, I think so, but I'm not positive. Because I was wide awake and I saw myself walking over to my bed.
Someone was walking over your bed?
No, I was doing it.
Oh, you were walking over someone else's bed?
No, my bed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm laying on the bed, listening to the new Voyagers a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't walked for 13 years. And there I saw myself walking over the bed.
Well, it sounds like you made a short trip to me, wouldn't you think so, guys?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Is that out-of-body walking?
That's one thing is shows that you can walk when you're out of the body.
Hear him.
Can you speak up a little bit, Jerry?
Yeah, it shows to her that, you know, she really astral project while the physical was still awake. And she seen the astral body, her soul, or the spirit, walk across the bed to show that she can still walk.
Now, I've never heard that before, that you can actually astral project while you're still awake and you can see your own... spiritual self, physically.
Oh, I did that a couple times. I do that at home here. I sit in a chair and I go across the room and look at myself sitting in a chair.
All right, that's a new one on me, gang.
For many years.
I didn't hear that, hon.
I haven't walked for many, many years. I'm a paraplegic.
Oh, you're paraplegic and you saw yourself walking.
Right.
All right, now that even makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
There's a fellow who lives a couple blocks from my home who is in a wheelchair from an accident that he had about 10 years ago. And when I see him out of the body, he's walking.
Your spiritual self is not impaired by those things.
No, absolutely
right.
Not. I have a rather important question to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what I should be doing in the next 10 or 20 years to prepare for my next... Because I'm 60.
Well, I intend to be 100 or better.
Oh, do you really?
I've already made a date with my wife. We're going out on my 110th birthday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I told her to take her vitamins.
No, but sure enough, what do I need to... Should I learn reincarnation, which I don't like?
Well, if you'd like to know about more things, you can always drop us a line at our address. And we have all kinds of things that will that can give you information on what there is to know about yourself and your existence.
Oh, and the future.
And the future, right.
That's what's important to me is the future. I know where I've been.
Well, a little bit later, we're going to get to one of the callers who has... been going out of body and going backward and forward in time. So maybe you'll want to hang on for the call from Nesbitt.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, Robert Monroe and his group of explorers do this, I guess you could call it time travel. They don't look upon it as that way, but they have done a lot of research in that particular area. So just hang in there, Bonnie.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you for being with us.
I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jim.
Hi, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jerry and Jim.
All right.
Hi. My name, I'm trying a school now called Eckhart Carr, the Ancient Science of Soul Travel, and it's kind of helped me orient myself because it let me know that there's another body beside the physical body, they like the astral body, and that there are other bodies besides that, like a mental body and a soul body. And then perhaps we have many levels of bodies, but they're all part of our wholeness as a beings, and we can kind of like listen to sound and light within us, and a spiritual guide will help us to understand these various aspects of our being. So we're masters of all of them, and I find it helpful to me to have that understanding, and I do appreciate the work that you do, and I think that it's fine that you're looking too, and I appreciate your open forum here.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Have you got out of body yourself?
You're welcome. Yes, I have.
And what did you find?
I think it's rather indescribable. generally, and I it's rather closely personal to me.
Okay.
But I do think that each person, I just want to kind of offer that up as a possibility for those interested in this area. I really have no particular verification other than the fact that it's I feel helped me to have an overview of what I'm doing rather than to be boxed in into the probabilities of the situation only from one viewpoint.
All right. Well, I appreciate your very kind comments.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
And best of luck to you.
Okay. Thank you, too.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Nesbitt. Been going backward and forward in time, have you?
No, I haven't. When I called in, I think your man sort of didn't get quite what I was talking about. I did want to ask about going back and forth in time, and if you're, you know, if your guests had gone back and forward in time.
Could you turn your radio down just a little bit there,
sure,
in the distance?
Because
there's a little delay and it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, Jerry, going back and forward in time, what have you gentlemen found out about it?
Well, I've done that before. Well, I got backwards. I mean, but you can pick up a history book and do that.
Yeah.
But forward, I thought one of my things was coming through the other night when the tidal wave was coming into California, but...
The tidal wave that never came.
It never came, so that kind of went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think the most important thing I did when I went forward was that space shuffle. You know, that went up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I projected out to go ahead, you know. As a matter of fact, you know what, Bill?
What?
The last time that happened, right after you left to go to your daughter's wedding.
Yes. Yeah, we had just returned when that happened.
And I was going to, I seen that happen before, and I was going to bring it up on your program, and I thought, no, I don't want to bring nothing like that up.
Right. You had seen the Challenger disaster prior to it happening?
Right. But why I didn't want to bring it up, because when I seen the crew, I seen two women on that crew, and I said, they've never sent two women up in the spaceship.
Just so happens they did.
Yep.
Did, of course, when you see things like that, it's good to get them down and dated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, well, you'd be surprised how many people call to me here, psychics, quote unquote, and maybe they are, who had predicted that to themselves but just didn't tell anybody, and I am not saying that they didn't. But it helps if they can prove that they had done that prior to.
Hey, you keep a tape of this radio show?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back a year or so on mine, I did predict to you, I told you about that Russia was going to have a nuclear accident.
I'm just now scratching my own computer here in the top of my head, and I think that you did say something about a nuclear accident.
Talking about that. talk about a nuclear war. And I said there'd never be one, but Russia would have a nuclear accident that would set them back.
I believe you did, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back through the shows. We keep them. And listen to that. If it did, I will pull it out. I'll send you a copy of it.
Yeah.
And we'll also air that whenever you're on with us this fall. Okay?
That's good.
All right. Oh, I love things like this. I love things like this. Does that help you now, Nesbitt?
Yes, it does. Bill, can I ask another quick question?
Yes.
Earlier in the show, one of your guests mentioned something about the first level, and that's not a good place to be.
Not a fine place.
Not the most pleasant place to be. How can one control where they want to be when they're out of the body? And explain to me what levels are.
Good questions. Okay, Jerry? Or Jim? He wants to know how you control what level you go to in the out-of-body state. And perhaps Nesbitt wants to know how he can keep from going there whenever he's permanently out-of-body. And what are the levels?
Well, the first and second level aren't nice levels. I went through with a guide.
It's a nice place to visit, but you don't want to stay there.
You don't want to stay there. But eventually the ones that are down there aren't going to get out. I don't think he has to worry about going to that level.
Well, what are the other levels?
Well, you got the third level. This is mostly what Christians would call heaven.
Uh-huh.
That's where the majority of the people, when they leave Earth, go to the third level. It's beautiful, and they think you're in heaven.
Okay.
And then you get to the fourth level, it's more higher. More scholars, you know.
More serene? The scholars are there, the thinkers are there, the
right.
Evolved ones are there.
When you get to the sixth and seventh level, then those two levels, you really don't have to come back to Earth. You prepare yourself to go into the next plane of existence, of the ethereal plane.
The ethereal plane from there.
Right.
Which precludes the need for physical life as we understand it.
You don't need physical life anymore. And on that...
No politicians, no bankers, no lawyers.
On the seventh level of the astral plane, this is where you will find the hierarchy of the Lords of Karma.
Uh-huh.
And these are the ones that direct you. It's almost run. Our government is almost run like them, like they do. Because
don't say that.
No, we copy, I have to admit. Because just like we got a council for our cities, we got a council for our colonies, a consul for our state, and the consul for the United States.
So they run it sort of that way up there, too.
Right.
All right, does that help you, Nesbitt?
Okay, it does, Bill. Thank you so much. You have a great show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I've got great listeners.
Thank you.
And we have Florence on the line. Hello, Florence.
Hello, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Do you recall, it's been 2 or 3 months ago, I called and we're talking about going out of body and talking about getting to the seventh level. And you said to me, you have been to the seventh level? And I said, yeah. And I'm urged to come often. And, at number seven, I can relate to everything. What's the other gentleman's name?
Jerry
Gross and Jim Voigt.
Mm-hmm. Hi. And I can relate to everything you were saying about the lower levels. And when I was taken, I've always got a guide with me. And I call it Jesus, you know, just because I'm Christian orientation. Anyway, when I get to the seventh level, it's like it's the top of one mountain. And there's a pool there. It's filled with this water. And I was encouraged to get into the pool and underneath the water. And then there's a waterfall of, it's liquid light, if you can imagine such a thing, or visualize it. And then I can go up the inside of the waterfall and get into the ethereal planes. And I know exactly what you mean about, you don't want to come back to Earth, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You want to stay there.
And those that are there don't have to come back to Earth.
Yeah.
Is it unusual for someone over here to visit the seventh level much, Jerry?
Depends upon how developed they are.
Well, I don't know how developed I am. I took a course from a Hindu called Mahasiddhananda in the 50s. And he released certain things in me. And during his course, he said, if you want to go to sleep in this course, why don't let my talking bother you. He said, when you go to sleep, then I've got you right where I want you. And I can help you a lot more because your conscious mind is out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things started happening after that. And but at the same time, I had a child to take care of. And at first, there was I was getting so ethereal that I had to get my feet back on the ground because I still had things to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in the Middle West at that time, and you know, with the orientation, it's quite a leap.
Well, it's quite different than what you'd ordinarily find in the Middle West or the South. I grew up there.
Yeah,
they have
absolutely.
A hard time with this information generally.
In other words, they think you're nuts.
Well,
to use a colloquial term.
Yeah. Well, that's about the size of it.
And I have a whole group of friends there.
On the seventh level.
The seventh, and on up.
Or on up.
Yeah. At number 17 is a tree that was shown to me. My numbers might not correspond exactly to yours, Jerry. Or, you know, the other people, but it's just a way of you know, just like a map. And there's a tree that, and this was shown to me and explained to me that this is the method of illustrating the theory of eternal abundance. And this tree is crystallized light. And I was taken, I was taken there by my guide, and he said, wouldn't you like to have a piece of fruit? So I picked off a branch with fruit and leaves. And immediately it was replaced. No waiting. And I put this fruit in my mouth, and it looked like it was crystal. But immediately it melted, and it was totally nourishing. Like there's everything you need in that one piece of fruit.
Even though you were in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, it's spiritual nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
What?
I was in that same tree.
Yeah, it's a nice place, isn't it?
And you pick the fruit off, and as soon as you pick it off, it replaces it.
Can you speak up a little bit, Jerry? You're fading on us a little bit.
Oh, okay. I was in that same tree. I seen that same tree. I picked the fruit off, and it was replaced right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you held it in your hand, it felt like glass.
Right.
You put it in your mouth, and it was gone.
Yeah, it just melts immediately.
And you know what you got there? It's what the Bible calls, like, the tree of knowledge.
Yeah. Or divine abundance. The concept that, that there's no end to abundance, you know. On this earthly plane, people believe that there's only so much good. And if a person gets wealthy, they're robbing somebody else. And that's not the way it is.
No, that's right.
Not really.
Everybody has the ability to have whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Florence, that's...
only put it to work.
That's fascinating stuff, Florence, and I think you're quite privileged to get up in there.
I could go on for hours, Bill.
Yes. Sounds to me like you could. You see why I want to go out of body so bad?
Well,
I want to eat out of that tree.
Well, but you can. Maybe you do every night. And just...
There's that... I'm told that that goes on, but I want to remember it like you, like all of you are doing. All right, I thank you very much for that, Florence.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. I'm Bill Jenkins. Tonight, my guests are Jim Voigt and Jerry Gross. They're with Search and Prove, which is a group of people in St. Paul, Minnesota, that have been deeply involving themselves with the great things that are to be learned and used and the ability to go out of body. It's helped them, and they're here to also help you. You're at Talk Radio 79. I have Paul on the line. Paul, welcome aboard.
Yes. Well, Jim,
yeah.
I have had quite a bit of experience in what you call out of travel. I call it spiritual ascending and spiritual descending. I've been able to go to India and other places with what you call out of body.
Uh-huh.
And seen certain things and have even talked with people and helped them to do some things.
You've talked to people in the physical while you're out of body?
Yes.
Well, that's quite unusual, isn't it, Jim?
Mind, the conscious mind, and help them to not do some things.
Oh, you converse with them at a mental level, then?
Right.
Or an ESP kind of level?
Right.
Are they aware to whom they're talking?
Some of them do, some don't.
I see. Well, you had mentioned something of that nature earlier yourself, hadn't you, Jerry, with, like, working with your daughter?
Yeah, I work with my daughter through school.
So that's just projecting thoughts into her mind, and you can do that easily from the out-of-body state.
Yeah, you can do that even in a physical. You can do it, too.
Well, yeah, some people can, that's true. Well, you probably are doing it all the time. I know my wife does it all the time to me. She perceives what I'm thinking, and I wish she'd stop it. I'm kidding. I love it.
Yes, I agree with 100% of what he's saying there, because you can do quite a few things for yourself and also other people and helping other people.
What has it meant to you, Paul, to be able to go out of body?
Well, quite a few experiences. Mm-hmm. Some things I can't tell on radio. I'd like to, you know, come down to the station sometime and tell you personally some things that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Has it been responsible for any kind of change in your attitudes or in your life?
Oh, yeah, a whole lot.
To the better, you would say?
Right.
You learn things that you wouldn't learn normally on a physical level?
Right.
Of a better quality or just something that was more
useful
to you?
A whole lot of better quality.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good thing that happened.
I see.
Right.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Paul.
All right.
Thank you for checking in.
All right.
And Joyce, you're on.
Yes, I understand. I don't have much time, so hello to everybody. Even
hello.
I need the time to tell you how square I am, and that I'm not a nut, and that I don't usually believe in anything. I've never seen a ghost, and all of that sort. If you get the picture.
Well, I've never gone out of bed,
so well, I never had either. That's what I'm saying. I'm very square about this sort of thing, and when I listen, it's with an open mind. Not that I would ever know or witness anything.
Uh-huh.
But about 3 weeks ago, I was exhausted, really feeling heavy, really worn out. I never get like that. And the minute I was just at the point of going to sleep, all of a sudden this force just like shoved me. It was from the bottom and I was going to come out the top. And it was almost like a slide, like I had no control to stop it, like a slide.
Uh-huh.
And I just like popped out. And I thought, I'm going to go right through that wall, and that's going to be it. And then it was like I was a shadow. I went to the corner and stood there, and I thought, this has got to be a dream. And it might be that I've heard about or some, you know, this show that I've heard before and everything. So then I woke up, and I thought, that was really weird. That was something else. So I decided to forget about it, and I thought, it's just a dream, and I don't know anything about it. And then I was going to tell somebody that at school where I go, and they said they didn't believe in it, so I let it go. And by golly, then the next, that very night, he came home. I was so tired again, exhausted sleep. And the minute I started to go to sleep, it's like I was sleeping with my eyes open. I couldn't see, but I was asleep or whatever. But the minute I hit the bed, it started to do it again, and I could stop it. I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to. That was a weird thing. I think if whatever this was, if it's what you're talking about, started, you can't stop it. But if you get it right at the beginning, like the minute I felt, oh, here I go into that again, I'm not. So I just woke up. I just won't do it.
and then I read...
Where's your adventurous spirit, Joyce?
So what do you think now? Does anybody ever describe it as being sort of like knocked out or socked out of it or plopped out of your body?
Well, let's ask the experts here.
Well,
there's all kinds of ways that you leave the body, and that's one of them.
Well, this is a fast force. Like, you're not...
Right,
uh-huh. You're going, and you just, you're almost like, I gotta hang on to something.
Right, sometimes
moment.
You just explode out, and away you go.
Yeah, I felt like I really was plucked out, you know, before I could stop it, and now I'm out there. It's just, it was strange, and I would never believe anything like that.
Well, you don't think I would sit here and tell you things that weren't true.
Well, a lot of times I think that the people that fall in, like, it's probably a dream,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. That thing about everybody always sees a bright light, you know, that they go through?
A near-death experience, yeah.
Well, every time I've ever had sodium pentothal, I see a bright light. I don't think I've ever nearly died or anything that I know of, and I've had it 5 times, and I think most people do that when they have pentothal.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that says they saw this, I think that's the way that reacts, that drug. So,
well, so now, but you have... gone out of body. You don't particularly want to do it again, but it happens to you every now and then.
Well, do you think that's what it was?
That sounds like it. That's what Jim just said.
Well, I would never believe it.
Now you know.
Well, I think you can stop it if you, the minute it starts, if you want to quit, you've got to wake up quick and get out of it, or you'll go. For then you're awake and you know you're going, but you can't turn it back. Does that make sense?
This was kind of an introduction for you, and now it's up to you to either pursue it or
not. Well, I'm afraid it'll do it again. I'm afraid that it'll do that again, but I don't particularly want to do that.
Well, then you probably will stop it if you don't want to.
Well, I never asked for it in the first place. I wasn't thinking about it, or I hadn't heard anything about it for ever, or nothing like that on my mind. But
well,
I will
Joyce,
say I was very exhausted. And then 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, that's something. Joyce, thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, talk to you again.
All right. Thank you for that. Jim, Jerry, thank you for spending so much time with us back there in St. Paul. And Jerry, for your quick trip into Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley. And we'll get together about your next appearance in person here. And we'll conduct that little experiment live. Next week, Tom Beard and John Bedini join me. And we will amaze you then on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. Good night.
J-A-B-C-Talk.